Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Welcome to the UFC Fight Night post-show live stream, and now your host, Mr. Mike Heck.
All right, we are live. The UFC 252 go-home event delivered in a lot of ways, and it was finished off by Derek Lewis putting away Alexei Oleinik in round number two. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the live UFC Vegas 6 post-fight show right here on the MMA Fighting YouTube channel. If you're watching now, welcome. If you're watching or listening after the fact, thanks for joining us after the fact. I'm being joined by Jose Youngs, Alex K. Lee, and E. Casey Lydon. For those who are joining us live, this is your show. It's the People's Post-Fight Show. We want to hear from you as we'll be live for probably around 45 minutes or so. So let's get those comments and questions in. But AK, I want to begin with you because you had very high expectations for this card. And if you watch like the Barstool Sports Pizza reviews, if Dave Portnoy eats a Neapolitan pizza, it starts with like a 6.8 score out of 10, and it just goes from there. You gave this event, based on the lineup alone, before one punch was thrown, a 9.5. Would you say it lived up to your expectations at the Apex tonight?
I think he and I are using a little bit different scoring system because I can go as high as 9.5, but it doesn't start at anything. It starts at zero, really. So I still think it was pretty good. I don't think it hit 9.5. 9.5 would be like an all-time like great fight night. But I think it's a solid 8.5 still. I think it delivered in a lot of accounts. There was a couple of bummer fights, but some which were still entertaining. Like even the co-main event, I know, look, we won't be wanting to rewatch that one anytime soon, but there was a certain level of intrigue and drama to it just because, you know, Chris Weidman was involved, but it wasn't a great fight, which is why you kind of ding a few marks off the potential score there. But otherwise, yeah, 8.5, I think really solid.
It was funny because like after the prelims were over, I was like, oh, this is right on track for a 9.5. Didn't quite get there. We slowed down a little bit, but that is to be expected on some of these cards. They can't all be barn burners. They can't all be bangers like we saw in the prelims. But Jose, what did you think of the card overall tonight?
It was a fight night. It wasn't the best of the fight nights since the Apex cards. I had serious FOMO not being there. It feels weird watching a fight card happen at the Apex of me not being backstage, but it wasn't the best of all the fight cards. I'm not kind of pay-per-views of all the fights of the last few months, but it wasn't the worst. I put it like right in the middle in terms of action. Some of the fight cards that even of the past had that weren't as action pack still had really important fights, and outside of the top two of this one and the co-main event, had no title implications, just important maybe for one fighter's career, maybe one for breaking into the top 10. Outside of the main event, that weren't really overly super important fights in terms of future title contention. So I'd give it like right in the middle of all of them, so maybe a 6.5 or 7, and I'm just trying to be honest right there.
6.5 or 7 for Jose, 8.5 for AK. Casey, where do you sit?
I give this a solid 9. It was in the small cage. I didn't pay a dime for it. It's just barely dark. What time is it? It's only 8:40 my time in the beautiful Pacific time zone. So yeah, it was good. I had a good time tonight.
I'll give it like a 7.8. So like kind of in the middle of Jose and AK. It's like gymnastics. It's like figure skating scores right there.
We're talking about Barstool Sports and figure skating on a MMA post-fight show. What's going on here?
Ooh, why don't you just dye your hair pink, bro? Jeez.
I wish.
Don't have it. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to go green next.
Pink's going, take. Why? Why green?
Because I like Frank Ocean. And I already had green before. And Izzy already stole pink. I thought about going jade for a long time, but I think I'm going to go back to green.
All right, I can't wait to see that. I cannot.
Well, people have already seen me with the green hair. I'm pretty sure I was at UFC 202 with green hair.
Wow, I don't know if I was there or not. I'm not sure, but let's talk about this main event. Derek Lewis gets it done. that first round was like everything we hoped this fight would be. Lewis was doing well. Then he put himself in some uncomfortable situations, as he normally does in his fights. He got put in this scarf hold, headlock type situation, which just looked really uncomfortable to watch, but he survived it all, came out in the second round guns blazing and finished the fight. Jose, what did you think of the Black Beast performance tonight? I thought it was pretty darn fantastic.
It was exactly how Derek Lewis wins fights. Like you said, he gets himself into these precarious situations. We pretty much talked about this. We laid out exactly how he was going to win on the preview show. Lex Olenek is probably going to at some point either take his back or get on top or have some sort of dominant control on the canvas. And it's going to be one of those things where people watching the fight are going to be like, well, why doesn't he just give up? Why doesn't he just stand up, this and that? And Alexei Olenek has one of the hardest squeezes I've ever seen a human being put out. And he was just torquing Derek Lewis's head. I'm pretty sure if there was a watermelon there, that was going to pop. And he not only withstood it, he was trying to get out, but he wasn't advancing. So he just took the pain for what seems like 90 seconds. Survives the round and then just crushes Alexei Olenek with a flying knee into ground and pound. So all in all, classic Derek Lewis win, and it pretty much laid out exactly as all three of us said it would on the preview show.
AK, I thought Derek Lewis had some interesting things to say after the fight. You know, he said he had to go to the bathroom before he said hello to Paul Felder, which is classic Derek Lewis. But he also said, and physically he looks great. Like, he still has to cut weight to get to 265. But he looks great. Like, even when him and Olenek went face to face before the fight, you looked at Derek Lewis's midsection and it like wasn't a big bulge or anything. It was like, he looks good. He looks in really good shape. The face is skinny. He's looking great. But he said he's not going to take another fight until he drops another 15 or 20 pounds. He wants to be around 245, 250 before he gets back in there. Targets December. We talked about this a little bit before we went live, that Derek Lewis has said things in the past. And then like a month later, he takes another fight. Do you believe Derek Lewis when he says that he's going to cut 15 to 20 pounds before he fights again and we won't see him again till December?
Yeah, I kind of do. I don't know. I see no reason not to believe him. I think you're right. You know, we have heard this kind of a song and dance before. Derek Lewis does a lot of interviews, all right? He doesn't love doing them. So he does strike me as the kind of guy who sometimes he'll just say stuff, I think, just to give a different answer and just to spice things up. But this seemed like well thought out. And also, like you mentioned, you could see it. You could see a physical difference. I think even at the weigh-ins yesterday, I know a lot of people were remarking like, man, like Derek looks pretty slim. He came at 265, but he just looked a little different. So the weight isn't where he wants to be, but it does look like his body is changing. So it would be really cool to see if in his next fight he came in at like 250 or even 245. It'd be very, you know, it's a difficult thing to do, especially as you get older. But if he's dedicated to it, he certainly can. He's always saying stuff like, oh, this is the first time I did this, the first time I did that. So maybe this is the first time we see him do like a really intense diet. You know, who knows? So if that's the case, I do believe it. Regarding the usual post-fight shenanigans, the post-fight poopy talk, I saw some.
Guys, this is the internet.
Pardon I'm sorry. It's okay. It's after dark. I saw some people saying online, like, oh, it's becoming kind of cliche. Like, he's just kind of doing it. It's like, it's becoming a little, say the line Bart, you know, from Simpsons, a little say the line Barty. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's funny. Look, he has a bit now. My hands were ready on Twitter to transcribe whatever hilarious joke he was going to make. Is it super spontaneous now? I don't know. Maybe not. But I still think it's pretty funny. I think it's good to have a character that's better than nothing at all.
AK believes Derek Lewis, Jose. Something tells me you may not believe him.
You don't believe he has to poop?
Well, that, but...
Oh, sorry. What are we talking about?
It's 2020. Are people still pooping? Come on, Casey.
We're going to do the Q&A technology. Later, guys. Q&A later. Don't ruin
Come on, Casey. Anywho, no, I don't believe Derek Lewis. I think Derek Lewis will fight again before he cuts all that weight or loses all that weight, like he says. I'm pretty sure he retired after the Markhan fight. That wasn't true. And then after he beat Alexander Volkov by epic knockout, he's like, oh, I need to take time off and get my cardio and my grappling ready. And then a month and a half later, he's fighting a month later, he's fighting Daniel Cormier, the main event of Madison Square Garden. Yes, money talks. Yes, it was a title fight, this and that. I think Derek Lewis will fight again before losing all that weight because, like we said, he's in good shape. He just is a heavy dude and he wants to lose weight. If he's already in, I think he's going to fight again. He's already in fighting shape. He's healthy now. His back is good. So he's not lumbering around in there like he did against the Mark Hunts, against the Francis Ngannous of the world. Yes, he beat Francis Ngannou, but did anyone actually win that fight besides Derek Lewis? No. So I think he'll fight again. When? I have no idea, but I imagine they're going to want to try and book him against someone like Curtis Blaydes or maybe the winner of Overeem and Sakai, but that's still like a month away. But no, yes, Derek Lewis will fight again before losing all this weight.
Yeah, I think Curtis Blaydes made matchmakers' lives a little bit easier. He called dibs on Derek Lewis. I think that's the fight to make, Casey. Do you see anything else? I mean, Derek Lewis gets put in these wild, wacky fights more often than not, but I think that this is an appropriate step for both guys.
Yeah, I think that will most likely be the fight to make, most because they haven't fought yet, and Derek Lewis has fought. I mean, of the top 10 fighters, he's fought at least, what, 7 of them? Or, I mean, he's fought a significant amount. Yeah, it makes sense. And it's one of those fights where if Curtis Blaydes beats Derek Lewis by just, you know, wrestling him for 3 rounds, it doesn't really hurt Derek Lewis's stock, to be honest. So, yeah, let's run it.
Yeah, because you would think that Ngannou is going to get the next title shot after next Saturday. It's probably going to be against Stipe, win or lose. And then, you know, you have Blaydes and Lewis fight, and then the winner can fight the winner of that fight. So here we go.
I just hope it's five rounds. I just want to be a main event. You know, maybe a fight night card. Oh, yeah, I have to be a fight night card. But yeah, 5 rounds, because I want Derek Lewis, a healthy Derek Lewis who wants to fight, a more mature Derek Lewis. You know, if he has to start, every fight starts on the feet, and he is so dangerous. So yeah.
What if Stipe retires? Like some people saying that this might be Stipe's last fight too. What if they both retire and Derek Lewis fights Curtis Blaydes for the vacant title?
Oh, you can't leave Ngannou. How dare you?
Just forget Ngannou.
Just forget. You tell him that.
Lewis and Ngannou. I know all the jokes are going to be Derek Lewis and Ngannou, but that first fight was so bad. I would just
choose
not to see that. I know.
There are multiple asterisks on that fight. Multiple asterisks.
Casey, it's a joke. Of course, Francis Ngannou is going to fight for the title next, regardless. So Lewis and Ngannou, too, can be for the vacant title if both of them retire.
And then Curtis Blaydes has to wait for the winner. He'd be so mad if he got skipped over for that title shot. Man.
Whatever.
Yeah.
UFC, he's not in the best graces with the UFC right now. So if anyone is going to get skipped over, it's going to be Curtis Blaydes. If Augusto Sakai beats Overeem, which I don't think he will, if Augusto Sakai beats Overeem, they can fight. I don't think he's going to fight Overeem because they're main training partners at this point. And Overeem, he basically is Overeem's wrestling coach and sparring partner. So I don't think those two will fight. So if Sakai beats Blaydes, then maybe. Or if Sakai beats Overeem, then maybe. But yeah, heavyweight division, well, we got to get past next before we can matchmake.
Absolutely. How about Chris Weidman? Had a nice first round in the co-main event, got pieced up in the second. Looked like he might have been in some trouble heading into the third round, but he thrived on that pressure with, in my opinion, a 10-8 third round. 2 judges agreed with me on that. And if there was anybody on this roster who needed a win, it was Chris Weidman. What did you think, AK? That was some show of grit in that third round, was it not?
You know, any fight that you can walk away from, Mike, is a good fight, right? It's a win. Look, I know he was critical of himself after. There was a lot of people as the fight was going on tweeting like, "Oh, this is boring," and he's washed. Like even if he wins, he's washed. I myself wasn't super thrilled with the fight. Like I think I tweeted right before the beginning of the third. Mm-hmm. I tweeted, first takedown is going to win this round and win the fight. And this is exactly what happened. You know, Weidman was smart. He got in first. I was a little more disappointed in Akhmadov than anything for all the criticism that Weidman's getting. But I did not like that he called immediately after, was like, I'm ready to get back into that top tier. It makes sense for him. Don't get me wrong. He still has a name. There's no reason mentally why he would want to take a step back or continue fighting in that sort of 15 to 25 range. But I hope people talk to him and you know, the matchmakers can kind of get through to him that if he's ever going to get back to the top, it's not now. It's just not now. I don't know what it's going to take. You know, you only get older and you only get more worn down in this game usually. But I'd like to see him, you know, fight another Akhmadov level guy, as unexciting as that is. And it doesn't have to be a co-main event. That's the other thing I saw people criticizing, is why is this the co-main? And yeah, maybe those days are over for now too. Maybe he needs to be bumped just a little bit down the card, get another good style matchup, and we'll see where it goes from there. But he needs to stop thinking about, oh, I'm this many fights away from Adesanya. I'm this many fights away from fighting another top 5 guy. It's just, he just can't worry about that right now.
Here's what I'm excited about, because me and AK, we get to save our actual official matchmaking picks till Monday for on to the next one. But I know Jose had his thoughts for Weidman and Casey had his thoughts for Weidman. So Jose, state your case for what's next for Chris Weidman and why.
I want to see, and you know who else is on my team? The only one that matters in this whole scenario, and that is the beautiful Guilherme Cruz. He is 100% on Team Jose in this argument, and I want to see Chris Weidman versus Anderson Silva 3. We're talking about not giving him top 15 guys that are going to fight for the title anytime soon. Anderson Silva is not even ranked, but he's still one of the most famous men on the UFC roster. He has a whole country behind him. That I was at both of the first fights. Weidman won the first one fair and square. He won the second one fair and square. Anderson Silva snapped his leg in half on a checked kick, which Weidman did check and snapped Anderson Silva's leg. He won fair and square, but the naysayers will say, oh, Anderson just got hurt, this and that. Let him fight a third time. Neither of them are going to fight for the title anytime soon. They're both clearly past their primes. I don't want to see Weidman fight someone like Heinisch or Vettori or any of these other up-and-coming prospects, or Shabazzian, which I saw someone talk about on Twitter. I don't want to see him fight a prospect and he can knock him off and then still be nowhere near close to the title. Anderson is not fighting for the title anytime soon. I don't want to see him fight another guy like Jared Cannonier or Izzy and just see him get styled on and lose some of his mystique and legacy. Anderson Silva versus Chris Weidman. I know what Casey's going to say. His choice would be my second choice, but one of the fighters isn't even fighting at the moment, so I'm not even going to entertain that fight right now. So Anderson Silva, Chris Weidman 3, or Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva 3, whatever you want to say, I think is the fight to make.
Casey?
Where is Luke Rockhold? Come on, Luke Rockhold, get out. And don't do this 185 crap. Let's go do it 205. We know you're two middleweights. Don't cut the weight. Don't have to worry about that. Just stay healthy and make the fight. Let's just run it back. We still have the whole, you know, if he didn't throw the spinning kick, you know, he would have won, you know. So let's end that controversy. Let's put it as a, I don't know, it can be like a featured fight on a pay-per-view. You know, I don't want 5 rounds. I want a solid 3-round fight. And let's run it back at 205. There's only, Rockhold, Weidman 2 at 205. And but go back to AK though. What is this Silva's Weidman's washed? What didn't he just beat a what was Akhmedov ranked? What was he ranked?
11. Yeah, I was top.
He just beat the 11th best 185 pounder in the UFC. That is a giant accomplishment. What is washed to you?
Well, it wasn't me that was saying. Like I said, I saw those comments on there, and I'm like, I thought it was a bit. And the fight wasn't even over. This was like I think in the middle. I think it's like in the middle of the second or middle of the third that people were just and while he was winning that people were like whatever happens he's watched and no but I'll say I understand where those comments are coming from. He looked slow. He looked really slow. And so did Akhmedov.
Real slow.
And so did Akhmedov. In fairness, so I didn't hear anyone saying Akhmedov was washed. But it just wasn't. I think compared to his prime, I think people are just trying to say like, man, you know, the UFC is just keeps pushing Weidman as his big name and keeps kind of promoting him as, you know, this former champion who knows how many fights away from another big fight. And I think the criticisms are coming from like directly at that viewpoint and saying that he's just not that and he isn't that and that's where the pushback is.
What's wrong if he's not that? He can't be that forever, but I still think he's a legitimate middleweight threat, you know? I don't think he's going to win the title, but he still is if he fought Shabazzian, if he fought Derek Brunson, if he fought any of those guys who are ranked above him, I still think it's a competitive fight. He may lose, but I still think it's going to be a competitive fight with him walking into that cage.
This is MMA, Casey. You're either the first or you're last.
Yeah, hashtag you know that.
There's no, yeah. Yeah. Just like hashtag Otterpop. Yeah.
Derek Brunson did throw Chris Weidman's name out there in a recent interview last week. Should he have won tonight? And he did. I mean, I don't know how I feel about that idea because
Chris Weidman's just a big name at this point. Like he's not anywhere near a title. Like he's a big name and beating him. Like if you're just looking at rankings, like technically Kelvin Gastelum is still ranked higher than Weidman. Derek Brunson could beat Kelvin, who's on a big losing streak, or Weidman, who's lost like what? 5 of 7, and Weidman's still going to be the bigger name. Kelvin might be ranked higher. Weidman's still the bigger name at this point. Derek Brunson just wants the big fight. So, I don't blame him for calling out a guy that he would probably be favored. It's one of those fights where he would be favored over, probably will win, and it's a big name. So don't blame Derek Brunson one bit for calling him out.
Twitter account MMA Roasted, Adam Hunter, who I'm a big fan of, comedian, tweeted out after the fight, I'm really happy for Chris Weidman. He was one loss away from a Bellator title shot.
Which I thought he was supposed to. He almost signed to Bellator before he signed to the UFC all those moons ago.
Yeah.
He could have been stuck in an Eddie Alvarez situation back in the Bjorn Rebney days.
Listen, gritty third round for Weidman. I give him credit. It was nice to see him get a win. Some news. We have our bonuses for the night. There is no fight of the night. We have four performance bonuses. Andrew Sanchez, Darren Stewart, Gavin Tucker, and Kevin Holland all get 50 G's tonight.
Say the first two again.
Sanchez, Stewart, Tucker, Holland.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds about right.
There's nobody else. I mean, Dariush got a finish, and he wasn't going to get a bonus. No.
It shouldn't have gone to Holtzman, but whatever.
Right.
Yeah. For anyone who didn't see, he had a great speech afterwards where he said, well, he missed weight and he said, I messed up. And if my finish was going to get a bonus, give that bonus money to, you know, give to my opponent, Scott Holtzman, who I just knocked out. But we all know the UFC wasn't going to do something weird like that. So it was a nice gesture. But I feel a little bit bad for Tim Means. I'm not even sure. There were some great fights, so maybe he wasn't even the fight of the night. I should look at the card again. But he did have a great, great fight. And I tweeted from our account, Tim Means has somehow never won a Fight of the Night award. So I thought maybe this could have been his night, but Staropoli wasn't going to get a bonus because he also missed weight. So I guess not a big problem with the bonuses.
Did Lewis get one? I'm sorry.
Oh, Lewis didn't get a bonus. Interesting. No.
Derek Lewis didn't get one. What? I don't get it.
I mean, Derek Lewis probably got, I mean, he was the main event. He probably got some good money. They wouldn't give it to some of the other guys. I don't have a problem with either of those.
If you rank all the stoppages, I would still make Derek Lewis as fifth of the five stoppages. So I'm not overly concerned. It doesn't concern me. He didn't get a bonus tonight.
Yeah. Sixth. If you add Dariush to the mix, cause that was a KO of the year candidate right there. Yeah, it's not going to win, but it was up there.
I would have liked to have seen Means get the $100,000, you know, double fight of the night bonus, for his opponent missing weight. And then I would have passed on Darren Stewart and, my fellow Canadian. No, I apologize. Gavin Tucker.
You're an anti-submission guy. I would have passed on Kevin Holland, though.
Submission. Oh. Yeah. I would have passed on Holland because Darren Stewart's was awesome.
Yep.
Sanchez was violent. Tucker's was late. I always like third round submissions, always kind of have a soft spot. I have a soft spot in my heart for that because it's just a grueling fight, and then you just tap him at the end. And yeah, I'd probably put Holland fourth of those four stoppages.
And the only reason I wasn't a fan of Holland getting the 50K is because late notice guy, first time fighting, so he was probably the biggest favorite on the card, right?
Okay.
No, Yusuf Zalal was the biggest favorite on the card.
Oh, where he was, yeah.
Well, that's why he's not getting any money.
I would have definitely got a bonus had Peter Barrett not been as tough as he was.
Yeah. If he would have got knocked down that first spinning kick, yeah, it was so close. It was beautiful.
That was crazy. I will say the other thing I like about the Tucker getting a bonus is I feel like he's being rewarded not just for the finish, but like his performance overall was really great. I know we're going to talk about some other stuff, but I will say you could have given him a 10-8 in the second. He was so dominant on the feet, and then he finished by submission. So I do like that it's a performance bonus, almost not just for the finish, but for everything he did in that fight. So definitely fair bonus.
Yeah, he looked great. And James dropped him in the first, almost finished the fight. Yeah,
to come back
like that. It was a lot of weathering of the storm tonight, which his pants came off. And his pants came off.
I know we were going to talk about that later on Between the Links, but I don't want to spoil it.
I don't think that was going to be. That might be the final question. That'll throw some people off.
Spoiler.
But it was a fun night overall. Let me just so I can have my memory. So nice win for Yana Kunitskaya. I mean, she did what she had to do. That was probably wasn't the most satisfying fight of all time. And then Dariush was incredible. Mean Staropoli was great. Holland with a nice win. Hack Parast and Munoz is such a tough guy. Sanchez with a nasty knockout. And then Tucker, Yusuf Zalal just keeps getting better and better. He's the first fighter in the UFC to get three wins in 2020.
Wow.
And then Irwin Rivera gets his first UFC win. So there you go. Pretty good night. The prelims are amazing. All the first fight was awesome. They're all really good. And then until we got to the
This fight to me it's like mashed in all these like really good cards. And I really like, wasn't Cyril Gane supposed to be on this card?
He was.
Before falling out. That would have been an awesome to see him throw down again. And didn't Kellen Vieira, didn't she get bumped? Wasn't she supposed to fight Yana Kunitskaya? Yeah, she was
supposed to win this card.
The dud of a fight was a late notice fighter. So, you know.
And wasn't Nico Montano supposed to rematch Julia Vila on this card too?
Yeah, that got pushed back to September 5th or something like that. It's early. It's one of the first cards in September.
Who was Cyril Gane supposed to fight originally? Pavlovich?
Sergey Pavlovich.
Yeah. Oh, my God. See, all those fights are so good. Like, it was still a fun card, like you said, but, like, imagine if all those fights were still on there.
Miranda Granger was supposed to fight Nadia Kassem on that card, too. And then Peter Barrett's original opponent was Steve Garcia. And then Yusuf Salah stepped in on 2 weeks' notice once again and got a nice win. So there you go. Should we go to the peeps?
Ready to go to the peeps? Okay.
I'm here to talk about everything UFC, EA Sports, UFC 4. I've been playing the demo.
Yes. If any video game questions, send them to Jose.
I've been playing the beta all day.
He is in, he's in there.
Who's the Bo Jackson? Like, you just can't stop. Not Bo Jackson. You been Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl when you just unstoppable?
Oh, well, I've only been playing lightweight right now, and I tell you, man, Khabib is so hard. His, like, because normally when you hit, like, your opponent, like, when you're fighting someone, you obviously start on standing, and, like, you kind of, you keep at a distance. Nope, Khabib is, like, right there in your face at the very beginning. And then you're just like, I can't do anything. Every punch I throw, he just takes me down. So Khabib is unreal in this game.
Is he like Mike Tyson in Punch Out?
Probably. Yeah. I've only played lightweight. I played a little, like, the demo when I played, I was Izzy, and I played against Whitaker, and I just didn't know the controls at all. And Izzy and Rob Whitaker just pieced me up. But once I figured the controls out, I pretty much have beaten everyone. But Khabib is so hard. He can, and once he gets on top of you, I know how to get out of things. Like, I just can't. He just suffocates me. I can't beat him.
It's real life.
Maybe just because I'm playing on hard difficulty, but I have knocked out every single opponent except for Khabib.
All right, Nick Bergen, what's next for Beneil Dariush, Jose Young?
Alexander Hernandez, too. Run it back. Alexander Hernandez just lost to Drew Dober. Beneil Dariush missed weight. Can't afford to say no to a fight. Alexander, I know you like Alexander Hernandez, and you interview him all the time, Mike Heck. I think Beneil Dariush, Alexander Hernandez 2, plays out totally differently. Alexander Hernandez might win. The question is out there whether about the glove tap and this and that. I have no problem with that fight whatsoever. I can't even think of, like, I know Kevin Lee just blew his knee out. Does Makhachev have a fight? I can't even think. Gregor Gillespie's there.
I think we answered it. AK, you got a different opinion?
Absolutely not. That's a terrible idea.
Mike is trying to fight Alexander Hernandez.
If Alexander Hernandez was ranked in the top 10, I would agree with you, but he's not ranked in the top 10. Beneil Dariush deserves a guy that's ranked in the top 10. I think, has he fought Diego Fajeda yet?
I was just about to say.
I don't think someone that misses weight and then knocks someone out that's not in the top 15 deserves a top 10 fighter. Ooh. Just my.
All right. First time ever missing weight, though. It is a pandemic.
Look at this. We are a pandemic.
Let ye who is without sin. My goodness.
What is he ranked right now?
14. He's
ranked 14 right now. And who is Holzman wasn't ranked. So I don't think Dariush is moving up in the rankings whatsoever. So, like,
but then how can he move up then?
Fight someone like
Alexander Hernandez.
I think I like Alexander Hernandez. I like Drew Dober. If you want to give him Drew Dober because he just beat Alexander Hernandez, I have no problem with that. I'm not even counting Dallas Cerrone in this division. And then Gregor Gillespie doesn't. What is Gregor Gillespie 12 and Makhachev 11 or vice versa? If you want to give him any of those, I personally want to see the Hernandez fight run back.
I want to see Fajeda because F the rankings. Fajeda and Dariush should be a sick fight. That's what I want to see. I don't care about these friggin' rankings. Well, whatever.
Mike, you're a storyline guy. You're a storyline guy. You love storylines. Dariush Hernandez. That's the fight. Dude, that knockout that Hernandez had of Dariush made that just changed their careers. Like, Dariush was on that kind of, you were thinking of him as a title contender. Then he gets knocked out by this random kid, and all of a sudden it took years for Dariush to get back to where he was from that one Hernandez knockout. And now we're kind of back at the same spot. Hernandez is kind of now the guy. He's going to be the big underdog again. And now Dariush is a favorite, you know. So
he's one and two in his last three fights. I just think that's a tough fight for Dariush to take.
Yeah, I think it's a step up for Dariush. A step back for Hernandez. Hernandez needs to fight, you know, the Fazeevs of the world. I mean, that's a tough fight too, but those are the kinds of guys you should be fighting according to, like, where they're ranked or where they're at in their careers. I mean, that's just my opinion. What about Dariush? Did Dariush and Dober fight before?
I don't have a problem with that.
Yes, they have.
See, and that's ranked. That's at least a top 15 guy. He's ranked below Dariush. Dober's on a nice run. He's in the top 15. Give him a ranked opponent. I'm down for that.
Run it back.
The only reason I would want to see that fight, I think you could stick that on the Habib Gaethje card because Dober is Gaethje's main training partner. Dariush and Habib are obviously both managed by Ali, so they can, and so is Gaethje, as a matter of fact. So if they want to run that, I don't have a problem with that. But I personally want to see the Hernandez fight run back again.
I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it. I just think there's better options.
I'm just saying, Alexander Hernandez has won 11 of his last 14 fights.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, but I think he needs to step back. Look at he's had some tough comp. Dariush in his first fight, which he won, and then Cowboy Cerrone, Trinaldo, Dober. Like, he's been fighting guys with, like, well, Dober was more around his experience level, but
he definitely,
Dariush, Cerrone, Trinaldo.
He's been like Trinaldo too.
Okay, well, I mean, there you go.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think he just needs. I'd like to see him take just a little bit of a step back, like not too far down, but I'd like to Fazayev, who again is tough, but I think rankings wise is, you know, not up there yet. So I like that suggestion. For Hernandez's sake, I think he needs to just take a little bit of a step back.
What about
really tough competition for him?
I know Hasparat against Hernandez.
That'd be great.
That's beat both of them.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm down for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else we got? Some good, some options for Dariush. That's a good
thing. It's lightweight. Literally anyone in the top five fight each other.
There could be another option
Here we go. This is what I want. Oh, sorry.
Rear mode, I got 15 knockouts in a row and I still don't have a title shot. That's as accurate a game as you can get. They're like, I'm 14-0 with 14 knockouts, and they're like, you're going to fight number 3 ranked Kevin Lee now. And I was like, no.
Dude, how many Instagram followers you got in the game?
No, I got a lot of Twitter followers, though. And Edson Barboza and me were talking all kinds of greasiness.
Edson.
Speaking of Alexander Hernandez, was my first fight in the UFC. He's like, this guy's a scrub from the WFA, and I cooked him alive. So Michael Chandler goes to the UFC. We talked about this. I'm going to read the question because we talked about this on the A side at length. If Michael Chandler goes to the UFC, who should be his first fight? Casey, Guillermo, and I all agree Charles Oliveira. Charles Oliveira needs a top 5 guy. He has no, but like the top 5 at lightweight, Hooker, what is it? Hooker, McGregor, Ferguson, Poirier, Gaethje, Habib. Like, those are the top. Two of them are going to fight. Two of them should fight. Connor is an anomaly. I think Hooker's going to take some time off. Plus, he's all the way on the other side of the world. If they want to do Hooker, Chandler, I love it. But Charles Oliveira is 6th. I think Chandler, Oliveira. Oliveira needs the top 5 guy. I think I consider Chandler a top 5 lightweight at this point. I like that fight, though.
I like Paul Felder. Felder.
I don't have an issue with Felder either. But this is the same. It's lightweight. He can fight anyone. It would be a good
Beneil Dariush versus Michael
Chandler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like, I don't want to see it, but like, oh, I'll see that. Yeah, sure. I mean,
I think Felder would be a more exciting fight, but I think at this point, I'm more thinking of Charles Oliveira. Like, who do you give Charles Oliveira? Because he can't find anyone in the top 5. Like, he already lost to Felder, and Felder's quote unquote retired. He keeps unretiring and retiring all the time. I'm thinking like Charles Oliveira deserves a fight like Michael Chandler.
He can't fight Dan Hooker.
He could.
I actually like the Hooker fight more.
I do. I'm just saying, like, I don't have – it's those three. One of those three can fight and the other fight the other one. I don't really care. I personally want to see – because remember when Chandler won the title in Hawaii? He's like, I'm the guy that could beat Habib. I can beat Habib. Give him a good grappler right out of the gate then to prove his point.
So, like, when Gaethje came in, he fought Michael Johnson right off the bat.
Yeah.
Who would be – like, would they give him – someone like a Michael. I mean, he wouldn't fight Michael Johnson because Michael Johnson's like way down there now. But is there someone like a Michael Johnson, like at 55 right now, that you could test him with? That's like really good and would be a good stiff test for him.
Honestly,
the top 15, maybe.
Oliveira Felder. It's
well, no. If you're going outside the top 10 but staying in the top 15, we were just talking about Dariush would be like a Michael Johnson equivalent.
I don't hate that,
but you're at, like, you made me think about, like, well, yeah, who would be the Michael Johnson right now of lightweight for a new guy like Chandler to come in? Someone who's respected with a name, but not in the top 10. I'm like, yeah.
What about Ali Aquinta?
Yeah, isn't he that would be really good.
That'd be fun.
I'll see Chandler fighting everyone, but I view it as I'm matchmaking this fight for Oliveira because he deserves a big name at this point. Like, what else? He has the most submission wins. He's like 28, if that. Like, who's he gonna fight? He deserves top 5. So Hooker or Chandler, I don't care. And the other one can fight Felder.
How much would it suck for Oliveira if Chandler took his spot, though? That would suck.
That would suck if it would suck if he lost anyone. Paycheck. That would be real bad.
It would suck if he lost anyone. But to have the Bellator guy come over and lose that way, man, that would be rough for him.
Unless they just want to do a Cowboy Alvarez part two and just give Cowboy Chandler right out of the gate. I wouldn't hate that either.
Yeah, I think the key word in this question is if, because he's got a lot of options right now. I have a feeling Bellator is going to throw a lot of money at him. Yeah. And then, you know, maybe the UFC matches depends what he weighs more. Is it money? Is it competition? You know, one's probably going to throw some money at him to try to book that third fight with Eddie Alvarez. So, I mean, there's lots of options for Michael Chandler right now.
I didn't even think about that.
Well, we're getting lots of Chandler questions. I got to kind of.
I figured this is coming.
A lot of Chandler questions. A lot of questions about Derek Lewis's bowel movements.
Think of what if Anthony Pettis drops back down a lightweight? He's like at this point, he's a Michael Johnson, like a huge.
Yeah,
like
that's
a, yeah. They would love
like
that.
Really good. Like I'm pretty sure they were champs at the same points. At one point, they were both champions at the same time. I really like that fight a lot.
I actually think that's like the favorite out of all of them. If he does drop to 55, and he said he does want to drop back down, so.
Beat Cowboy. I like Pettis Chandler a lot because at this point they're both in that age group where they're not in their prime yet, but still going to put on great fights. So I like Chandler Pettis.
If we're talking about guys going back down to 155, Nate Diaz, let's go. Nate Diaz, Jeff, I threw it out there. I did it. It's out there.
Vicente Luque already called him out. He's got to fight Vicente Luque first. No, that's not going to happen. We all know that's not going to happen. Chandler gets anybody is fun, but Pettis, yeah. I like the Pettis idea. I think that's perfect, actually.
Yeah, Pettis, yeah. That will be good. We answered this before, but let's just go over it one more time quickly.
Would you like to see a trilogy bout between Weidman and Silva? Yes, sign me up. I'm in.
Five rounds.
It just makes so much sense for both guys, honestly, at this stage of their careers. Weidman, I think somewhat unjustly, has sort of worn this weird fluke talk over his first two wins. You know, the first fight, Anderson Silva was playing around too much, which he did in every fight, by the way, he ever won as a champion, and no one said anything then. And then the second fight, he broke his leg, as if it wasn't because of Weidman's like perfectly timed, like checked kick. That had to do with that. So Weidman rightfully won both fights, but you know, obviously a lot of huge Anderson Silva fans out there. I know they don't want to accept that. But yeah, at this point in their stage careers, they're both a little bit older. Both have had mixed results, to put it kindly, over the last like 5 years. So I'm all in on that. Let's have these, you know, not quite legends fights, but these special attraction fights. Just go for it.
And Brazil hates Chris Weidman after running through Belfort, Machida, Anderson twice. So like, just let's let him do it. Stack a Fight Island card with a bunch of Brazilians versus a bunch of like fill in the blanks, and then Weidman and Anderson can be the co-main event. I don't hate it.
Yeah, I like that idea. I like the Rockhold idea as well. I just don't want to see like Weidman versus like a Marvin Vettori or something like that.
I don't want him to knock off like an up and coming contender. Who's the only one like in the top 15? The only one, if Weidman insists on fighting someone in the top 15, who's the only, like Brad Tavares,
the only one.
Like, what's he ranked? 12 or 13, something like that. I think
he's still ranked
12.
Yeah, I gotta take a look.
He'd be the only 12. One, I think, because him and Weidman are pretty much in that same category right there.
Maybe Ian Heinisch, I don't know, but yeah, I think you do Silva or you do Rockhold, you just. Give them fights with guys with names and sell it for what it is. I think both those are good ideas.
And Antonio Carlos Jr., shoeface?
No.
No?
I don't want to see shoeface.
Too much for him?
No belief in Weidman. Wow.
After a win, Casey. He won tonight.
He won.
I think shoeface is a great fighter. I just literally want to see the Anderson Silva fight.
Yeah. Oh,
that's my.
But why do you want to see Weidman fight Silva 3? What do you want to see in that fight other than it gives a nice paycheck for both guys?
Because it's a fun fight. And I think both of them deserve fun fights that make them a lot of money and get a lot of eyeballs on them.
But really, okay.
I think it benefits both guys. If Chris Weidman goes out there and fights Marvin Vettori, that does nothing for Chris Weidman outside of beating someone that's going to be ranked below him and getting another paycheck. If Marvin Vettori beats him, that's a big thing for Marvin Vettori. If Chris Weidman beats Anderson Silva, that's a win over a bigger name, probably more money on a bigger stage. I think that's the fight that makes the most sense for Weidman. And then Anderson Silva needs a guy, and they're not going to give him anyone in the top 15, especially up-and-coming contenders. And the only one in the top 15 I would want to see Anderson Silva fight outside of Weidman would probably be Gastelum, because they were booked already in that China card before Anderson Silva pulled out and Bisping filled in. I remember that was like 2 weeks after Bisping lost to GSP. That would be the only other fighter in the top 15. I would want to see Anderson fight next. So, but Anderson is insistent on fighting again. I think Weidman's a good fight.
He wants to fight Anthony Pettis, which is
he also wants to fight Conor McGregor,
which I still like more. Which I still like the most of all them. Actually, I still like that's just a freak show fight. I actually like.
Why not? I don't want to see Weidman versus Darren Till or anything like that. Like,
well, like Matt, what if?
I didn't even think about that.
I'd watch that.
So would I, but Darren Till's like blew his knee out. It's gonna be out for like 11 months.
Fair point.
Casey, why don't? What if they booked Anderson Silva versus Luke Rockhold? I wouldn't hate that fight either. Like they never fought; they were both champions simultaneously at one point in their careers. So make that fight, and then you could give Weidman someone in the top 15 if Rockhold comes out of
retirement. Do you want me to be the buzzkill here and tell you? Mike, I may have to spoil on. Or should I save it for onto the next one? I want to be the buzzkill here.
They're still gonna listen.
Now. Here's a sex, and I'll elaborate more on this if I go with this pick. Here's a sexy pick for you, Chris Weidman, Christoph Jotko. Choke on that. Yeah. Choke on it.
You know, you just sold a million pay-per-views of that one.
I'm saying I want him to take a step back. So if he doesn't get a cool fight like Anderson Silva and they're like, oh, let's match him up with someone close to him in the rankings. And it's like, Christoph Jotko.
I also don't hate if Uriah Hall loses to Romero, if they do a rematch between Weidman and Hall, because they fought on the regional scene up in New York. I wouldn't hate that fight either, now that they're both in the UFC.
That's true. He beat him. It's true. He beat Uriah Hall. I was about to say,
Vila and Nico Montano is a rematch, and that mm-hmm. still makes sense. So mm-hmm. I like seeing rematches in the UFC that happened on regional fight. I really like those matchups a lot. So I wouldn't hate that either. But as Jose Young's the MMA fan, wants to see the rubber match between Weidman and Anderson Silva.
Is it really a rubber match though?
It's a third fight.
It's not a rubber match.
It's a fight.
Well, when you put the fights in order, no, it's not a rubber match. But if Anderson Silva wins, and you imagine that was the second fight, yeah, it's a, you know.
All right, we can try to will it into existence. That's
the number one rule in MMA, Mike.
Don't make sense.
You know what, but if I was a guy like Jocko or Marvin Vettori, I would be like renting a plane and putting banners in the sky going, fight me, Weidman. Because who's beat Weidman? The guys who beat Weidman are elite, elite guys. So
best of the best.
Best of the best. The Jacarés, Romeros, you know, those guys who beat Weidman, the Musasis. So, yeah, if I'm a Jocko, Vettori type, Ian Heinisch, yeah, you go to South Carolina, you find out where his new home is, and you challenge him. Because that's the only way the UFC will get behind you. You got to beat that name. So,
yeah. I mean, he's got more options than maybe we thought. Yeah. How about that?
Look what we're doing. It's the Chris Weidman post fight show. This is great.
All right, what else we got?
Sorry. Marvin.
Marvin versus Weidman is perfect. I'd watch it.
I don't want to see that.
I want to see Einish fight Marvin Vettori. They're like, yeah. What? 14? They're both actual contenders.
Yeah, 13, that kind 14, of stuff. Yeah. That kind of stuff makes more sense. I don't want to see Chris Weidman fight Marvin Vettori.
But you know how the UFC works. If one guy outside of the rankings beats the number 11 guy, guess who's the number 11 guy? We just jump right up there. So Weidman becomes a top 11 guy more than likely come Tuesday morning.
Do you want to take some questions on future fights?
Why not?
All right.
We got 252 coming up on Saturday. We got like this is 15 minutes. Far ahead. No.
Oh,
predictions on Garbrandt and Figueroa. I'm hoping it's not another TJ Henry situation, but it's hard not to think that because Cody's chin hasn't held up in the past, let alone cutting another 10 pounds. This is kind of a tough one for me to answer because November is a long way away. And it's one of those fights where I'm like, yeah, I see it announced. Yeah, you know, it's reported and Dana White's told Brad Okamoto and stuff. But like until we get there, until it's like Halloween and both of these guys are still healthy and ready to go, I'm just not sold or bought into it yet. But let's just say for the sake of the question, AK, what do you think? Garbrandt, Figueroa, both guys are healthy. Garbrandt can make 125, no problem. All things are well. How do you see this thing playing out?
Sorry, Sanda fam. I think it absolutely is another TJ Henry situation, because the thing to remember about Dillashaw Cejudo is Cejudo didn't really have the reputation of being kind of like this quick strike knockout artist, but he certainly was rapidly improving and had power that people didn't know about. Figueiredo is a quick strike knockout artist. Everyone knows how deadly this guy's hands are. He's insanely powerful for a 125er. So I don't think it takes much for him to catch Cody's chin and put him down. So obviously I'm leaning towards the champ here. I'm not saying it's not a reasonable matchup on paper, but I do think it would end in a first or second round knockout. And I think he's been a champion for a while. He's really, really good. And I think he's exactly the kind of guy that, honestly, I would keep Garbrandt away from if I was trying to preserve it, that chin. But they want the name value. They want to save the flyweight division again. So, so I guess that's how it's going to go. But I would go Figueiredo by knockout.
I'm leaning Davison as well. But that's just where I am on August 8th. We're still 3 months away from this thing. Jose, what do you think?
I can't even look past like 2 weeks. Because like you talk about, that's all the way in November, this and that. It's all the way in November in 2020 in the middle of a pandemic. Remember when Gilbert Burns was supposed to fight Kamaru Usman? Remember when that fight happened? I don't, because one of them got COVID. So, yeah, I'm not even gonna think about a fight in November, especially with two fighters. One fighter's not even fought in that weight class. One fighter has missed weight before a million times, and they're in a pandemic. Ask me on Halloween, and I'll give you an answer.
All right, fair enough.
Look, that fight is going to happen. Korean Zombie is going to fight Brian Ortega. Mm-hmm. Habib Nurmagomedov will someday fight Tony Ferguson. These things will
happen. Forgot that Johnny Walker and Nikita Krylov was going to end in a knockout.
Yeah, Johnny Walker and Nikita Krylov is going to end in a knockout. Derek Lewis, Francis Ngannou 2 will be a classic fighting for the vacant heavyweight title. I have decreed all these things will happen, and so it shall be. Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on Corey Anderson signing. Is Bellator's light heavyweight division better than the UFC's light heavyweight division?
No.
Better strong, but getting close.
John Jones is still John Jones is still the UFC light heavyweight champion. Yeah. So until that is no longer, Bellator's light heavyweight division cannot be better.
I think the addition, if you're looking at the two most recent additions to the divisions, I still would put the addition of Jerry Prochazka a notch above Corey Anderson. So if we're just going off of that, like those were the two big names that changed promotions. I think Jiří would beat Corey Anderson, but like again, Corey Anderson is one of those weird fights that can beat everyone or just gets knocked out dead at this point. I think who's the top? Oh, is it Jones, Reyes, Santos, Blahovic,
Glover?
I mean,
Glover.
They got a lot of younger talent like Rakic, you know.
Ryan Bader might be the second best light heavyweight in the world.
We don't know.
I don't think he beats Jones, but like I could easily see Ryan Bader beat Dominic Reyes. I could easily see him beat Santos, Jan, beat him. Like he was winning that fight again. I know that fight against Glover was quick, but he looked awesome until he just got clipped. Mm-hmm. So I would still say Jones. I'm Jones. It is Jones' division. I would still say the UFC is better, but Corey Anderson should fight the winner of who's Bader fighting?
Nemkov.
That's it. He should fight the winner, but he'll probably get like Carvalho or something like that. Like something
maybe.
He'll fight the winner. There's no doubt. He should. No, he'll fight the winner.
He 100% should. But like I thought Sergio Pettis probably could have got a bantamweight title shot right out of the gate. Well, I guess Pitbull's kind of. No, Pitbull's
35. 35.
Yeah, there's no champion right now.
Yeah,
there's no champ. Yeah, Sergio Pettis could fought for the title right away, but they're giving him a few.
Well, they got Archuleta and Mix. Those two guys are the two top guys. God, so.
Mix Pettis would be so fun.
I know. I want to see that.
I think for the signing alone, I think it's perfect for everybody. I think it's a perfect signing for Bellator, perfect for Corey Anderson. It's perfect for the UFC. I think everybody wins in the situation, and Corey Anderson's in a position where, especially if Ryan Bader wins, I mean, Bellator is going to sell the crap out of that thing. Bader versus Corey Anderson. We got him on our roster now, baby. Mike Goldberg will go bananas because he loves taking those little dibs, those little shots at the UFC during these broadcasts. So I like the signing.
And then it's going to be a Phil Davis, Ryan Bader 3.
I just want to like categorically look at the top five. So the top five light heavyweights in Bellator would probably be, of course, Bader, Nemkov, now Corey Anderson, Phil Davis, and Liam McGeary, I suppose. I guess that's your top.
I know Carvalho is still technically a middleweight, but he fought
a
lightweight a few times.
Sure. Okay, so you throw him in there. But then it's a big drop off.
And Musasi, he'll go to 205 too. You
throw Vanguard up there too, yeah.
And Machida.
Well, until Musasi goes up there, I don't know if we can do it. But Machida, sure.
Machida's fighting Davis, right?
The rematch. Yeah. That's right. And then UFC, like we mentioned, Jones Reyes, Teixeira Smith, Thiago Santos. And then after that, it's not quite as big a drop off because then you have Prochazka, Uzdemir, Rakic, Blachowicz, Nikita Krylov, Johnny Walker. There's a lot of just the depth for even I think the top five is a little better, especially with Jones. And then the depth is just way better in the UFC. So but it's a great, great addition to Bellator's light heavyweight division for sure.
So Bader gets to defend against Nemkov. Then he'll probably have to defend the heavyweight title against Timothy Johnson after that win last night.
They'll probably book him against Congo just because their last fight was all goofy.
Yeah, you're right.
Can I pull a question, Truck? Can I pull a question?
Yeah, you have a screenshot to send me? What do you got?
No, I don't. I'll just read it off.
All right,
from Wax this one. Larita versus Shevchenko dance-off. Let me tell you. I just want
to. Okay, hey. Look what I had queued up.
Okay. Wow. Look at that.
I was ready.
Ezzy Enigma on the same page as us. Look, that Larita. By the way, I forgot about Shevchenko's post fight dances. Shevchenko's post fight dances are freaking amazing. And my other favorite ones, I think, were the Ryan Jimmo robot, RIP Ryan Jimmo. And then that time, I don't know if anyone remembers this, Sergio Moraes, Serginho, he was doing this trendy, I think, Brazilian dance that was like viral in Brazil at the time. I think Guillermo had to explain to me where he went up, balanced on his like neck and then did stuck his ass in the air and was just like shaking it around back. And I don't know how there was not a gif of this, but anyway, so that was like the third best dance. I think Laredo was the new number one. Like that was like the best post fight dance I've seen. And I know people are going to like, oh, because you know Laredo is an attractive woman, and he was like, no. Technically speaking, I've seen a lot of people try and dance afterwards. Shout out to Betch Kohea, God bless her. Laredo's dance was like really sharp and on point. It was so on point that it felt out of place in an MMA cage. Like that was some solid dancing. So I really just want an excuse to talk about Laredo's dance and by the way, came after an awesome knockout. So you do an awesome knockout. And then you get a sick dance. Boy, you are the star of the weekend.
How is Jordan Levitt not in this question? Because he had a great dance on Tuesday night too. It was like
are we just talking about best dances or best dances of the week?
Post fight specific. just pre-fight. Okay. Pre-fight is Edison. Yeah, there's no question.
Yeah, he did the shaku in Madison Square Garden. I don't know how anything tops that.
Pre-fight before the Whitaker fight. Oh.
All right, we're talking Laredo versus Shevchenko. Shevchenko.
I still think it's Valentina. I still think Valentina takes it because that's like her heritage, like in there, I'd still put it. Like Valerie Laredo is great. I think she's awesome. I'd still put Valentina above her in every category, including dance.
Both of those dances between the two of them, they came from two totally different places.
Yeah,
like Valentina, when she danced, it was like happy-go-lucky. The world is great. Laredo's dance, that was like full-on anger and an F you to everybody that doubted
aggressive.
Her.
It was aggressive. It was
an aggressive booty shake.
That made me like it. Like that made me like that was shaking with intent.
Yeah, that was she had that look in her face like, ha, I see y'all judging me. Judge me now. I just knocked this girl out. She's becoming like, and even in the post fight scrum, she's got a little bit of that Masvidal in her right now. She's starting to say, you know, super necessary and things like that. She's
extremely necessary.
She kind of fluffed.
See, she bumped it up a little bit. Yeah. See, she's coming from a different place right now. Yeah. I think that's exactly what Valerie Laredo needed. She needed to go out there, have a performance, do something devastating, talk a little smack afterwards. She's in a really good spot. She's probably one of the, in terms of like stocks rising, hers rose pretty good this weekend. You know, talking about like everybody's stock overall, I'd say Laredo's stock probably like top five of the weekend, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yep. I think got a lot of new supporters, a lot of new haters. And you know what? When you're a fighter, it's almost the same. It's all good, right? So, I think that was huge. That performance was really big.
And I saw some people on Twitter saying, like, when's Laredo going to fight somebody like with a legit record? She's 3-0. Like, she's just getting started. These are this is what Bellator does very well. Okay. Now, when she gets like 7-0, 8-0, and she gets to that MVP territory when she's finished like eight people in a row,
I think they do it. I think Bellator has proven that. I think they do it a little too long.
Yeah.
Like, I think MVP should be fighting the top of the top every fight. Like, yeah, he needs showcase fights. I get it. And I like them and they're great. And he gets all his fighting knockouts. But like, I want to see Lima MVP. I want to see Larkin MVP. Wait. I want to see. Go ahead.
I mean, but I thought they did. They had the tournament. They had the tournament.
And then he lost and went back to fighting like people that had bad records again. Like they're still like Homasi versus MVP. I'll watch that. Like, I want to see all those fights. I don't want to see MVP fight. Like, once Loretta gets like 7-0, 8-0, give her a huge bump. Don't just keep doing. Like, Gallagher should be fighting Pettis. Like, those are fights I want to see. Like, Gallagher has a legit record. Pettis has a legit record. They both have big names. Make, like, Derek Brunson said it best. If you're good enough, you're going to fight. Stop building these guys up. Because, MVP loses, that fall was massive. That fall was massive in the eyes of the fans because of how much he looked great and then crashed after he fought Lima. Ooh. But like we all saw the fight, MVP looked amazing.
Yeah.
We know he can stay in there with Lima. So I agree with you, Mike. Bellator does one of two things. They build them up for too long, or then all of a sudden you're Aaron Pico and you're fighting like legit guys at like 2-0 and get starts, and all of a sudden you're on a two fight losing streak and everyone thinks you're terrible. So find a happy medium.
His first fight was against Zach Freeman.
I know. It's Arsenal DP in Madison Square Garden. Like, come on, man. On the main card. Like, give him the Valerie Lareda treatment.
So MVP went from Paul Daly, that fight, which like everybody was so excited about.
Let's not remember that fight.
Yeah, that
fight. It happened. Then the Lima fight. Then he went to Richard Keeley, which props to Richard Keeley. He sold that fight pretty well. Yeah, he made people want to watch it, even though we knew it was going to happen. Then he was supposed to fight Derek Anderson, but Anderson got hurt, so he fought Gianni Melillo.
Uh-huh.
And then he fought in Japan against Shinzo Enzai at Bellator 237, and that was just a destruction for 5 minutes and 20 seconds.
He got the showcase fights. Now give him Homasi. Give him someone.
Yeah. And that makes sense.
I like Lareda, give her a few more and then a big bump up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like at least 25 is
fun
more.
In Bellator right now. I mean, there's a lot of fun fights for her. Like once she gets over that hump, you know, with the Alejandra Laras of the world, and you know, if they get Paige, that's a big one that you can book down the road, even though they're managed by the same team. But you know, just build her up slowly. She's still very green, but she's still fun to watch at the same time.
Oh my God, Paige versus Lareda.
Oh,
be a lot of you guys are weird.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, just from. Okay, for the clicks.
You know what
for
you're saying, clicks. Casey. I'm still going to say fight. You're weird.
Yeah. You know we're supposed to stop at 45 minutes. We're almost at an hour. So
we'll do one more. We'll do one more.
One more.
I was looking at the clock. I was like, we got like 7 minutes. Valley versus Paige. That's it. Not yet. Don't do it yet.
Scott Coker's salivating right now at the thought of that. Like, oh my gosh. You guys are weird.
Do you think we'll see Paige VanZant announced for Bellator before they leave Mohegan? I don't even know how that works.
No
idea.
With
like her contract and stuff. But
that's a good question. Do you guys think she'll sign? I think she'll continue fighting. Do you guys think she'll sign with a long-term contract with a promotion by the end of the year?
Yes.
Yeah?
I think it'll be Bellator. Mm-hmm. I know there's talks. I know people are throwing out bare knuckle and stuff. I know for a fact that bare knuckle has approached her, and they're probably going to throw some good money at her. I just have a hard time believing she doesn't go to Bellator. Like Coker's going to roll out the red carpet.
It makes so much
sense. Her husband fights there, and you can do so much with Paige. You can put her at the desk. You can put her in the broadcast booth. You can do so many different things with her besides just fighting. She can do a lot more and make a lot more money with Bellator. But
all right. Final question.
Last one.
Right. Would you be satisfied if we get a double retirement next week? Satisfied is not
that's not the right
the
word.
Right word. I wouldn't be happy. I mean, I would be happy for them if that they both want to call it a career. They both have. They're the two greatest heavyweights ever in the UFC, I think, or top five at least. I don't think the satisfied is the correct word I would use.
Yeah, Stipe spoke with the great James Lynch last week, and he said that he's definitely not retiring after this fight, no matter what happens. But again, these are words in an interview. We don't know what's going to happen on Saturday night. Like if DC goes out there and just starches Stipe in the first 2 minutes, you know, maybe he rethinks things, but Stipe looks pretty good right now. He's got that like thin face going on. He looks in pretty good shape. I think he's going to be ready for this fight. I'm really excited for this one.
And he needs to keep his hair. Oh, my God. He's one of those, he has that Dustin Poirier syndrome where once he grows his hair, I'm like, why did you ever cut your hair short like that?
And why does he not have a mustache? Remember when he had the mustache? The man was beautiful. He was a beautiful man. Stipe, mustache.
I would definitely not be satisfied by a double retirement. Cormier, for sure. He's been talking about it forever. You know, happy trails to you. You've put in a lot of work at light heavyweight, his wrestling career. It's time for him to lay down the gloves, win or lose. Miocic, no, man, that would suck. That would suck if Miocic. Again, by the way, when I suck, I mean for us as fans. For fighters, of course, you know, anytime they feel comfortable walking away, if they can afford to do it, I'm all for it. I absolutely encourage it. But as a fan, no, it would suck. I think there's still good matchups for Miocic. Again, even should he lose, I think he can easily fight his way back to another title shot. It's heavyweight. It's not super deep. But and because it's not deep, that's why to lose a talent like him right now, when he's still, I think, very much in his heavyweight prime, would be really unfortunate. I think there's a lot of good fights for him, and UFC would hate that. So no, I would not be satisfied. I'd be upset. I'd be genuinely upset if Stipe Miocic retired.
I'd be a little upset if he did it next Saturday, if we're being honest. It's like, say, like, I go to a wedding and like this beautiful couple is getting married, and then I propose to the girl I went with the wedding with at their wedding. Like, I'm stealing the thunder from them. Like, DC is retiring win, lose, or draw on next Saturday. Like, he said it a million times. This is his last hurrah. This is it. If he does it like right after DC does it and like kind of steals that shine from him, like, if you're going to do it, like, wait a day. Go, you know, come on, what the heck, and do it. And I mean, that would be great ratings for all of us. But yeah, don't do it next Saturday. And I don't think he will. So I think he's getting a title. I think he will fight Francis Ngannou for the title, whether he wins or loses next Saturday night. So I don't think he retires, but I will be kind of upset if he does. You know, just at that moment with this whole buildup, it's DC's last fight. Like, this is what it's all about. It's like, this isn't Roddy Piper at WrestleMania 3. Like, DC's done. He ain't coming back. He's not coming back. He'll be back in the broadcast booth, but he's not coming back to fight again. Casey, you look like you don't buy it. You think he comes back? You think they roll out the Brinks truck and get him back in there one more time?
If DC, if the trilogy goes like the first fight, DC is going to take one more fight.
John Jones.
Just saying. There's too much money. There's too much money there. And we're in a pandemic. Those guys need it. No.
But John Jones doesn't seem to have any interest in fighting right now. Is that going to get him out of bed? I mean, unless they pay him like an exuberant amount of money.
Oh, for John Jones, it does not make a lot of sense. No. He has to get paid because in his mind, he's beaten Cormier twice.
I want to see John Jones and Ngannou versus a third fight against DC.
Yes. Now we're talking. Now we're marching towards the future, Jose, the way we should.
All right, Cormier, wait another year. You got to wait another year for the situation to sort itself out.
Daniel Cormier can only fight in the months of July and August.
Yeah, that's right. And then you fight every year. And then you fight DC, either Jones or Ngannou for your last fight. Then you are done. Then no more.
DC could do so much right now. Like, he's going to go down as one of the greatest of all time, no matter what happens next Saturday. Top five ever. I mean, what else could he do? He could host a morning talk show easily, nationally syndicated
He would be a phenomenal WWE commentator. It's not like they're traveling all over the place.
There you go. See?
But right now, you're saying DC it can be one of the best ever. If he wins next Saturday, he is only one fight away from being the best ever.
Yeah, but see, now you're on the slippery slope here.
Exactly, because if he beats John, we all know he lost to John Jones in the rematch, but like officially.
I'm looking on Fight Finder. It says big, no contest.
Mike, we need to get an interrupt button for Casey for next time. I understand it's on no contest. So if he beats John Jones, he's 1-1-1, then they're going to have to fight a fourth time. And I don't want to see that either.
Yeah, it's. Just let the man retire God's sake.
Go spend time with your kids. Go coach wrestling. That is much more important than fist fighting in an empty arena.
Yes. is that the money signal? Straight. I wasn't sure what you were doing. I thought you were gonna get all Sopranos on us way you were. No, I wasn't sure.
And with that, he just ends it.
Yeah. That's it. All right, I think we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Do we have any more like unbelievable questions here? Which they all are, I'm sure.
But I just want to say, because I feel like we didn't talk about this enough either on the preview show or tonight. Kevin Holland, Joaquin Buckley was a wildly entertaining fight.
Yeah.
Buckley, God bless him, did exactly what I think newcomers should do. He came in with a reputation of being a knockout artist. He just rushed at Holland and was just throwing like 100 punches. And he's like a big guy who like he don't use a lot of energy. And I thought there's no way he'd keep this pace. He actually kind of did through at least the first 10 minutes. And he was just facing, I think, a better prepared, a better fighter in Holland tonight. But, man, I can't wait to see Buckley fight again. And by the way, this is not to say he looked better than Holland. Holland looked fantastic. And his two knockdowns came off just off these pinpoint, just like almost Anderson Silva, like bops, just straight, quick, straight rights.
Do that again, but, Alex. Do that again. I was like, look,
this 3D. Is people put on your 3D glasses because bop, right at you. It's like when you go to the movies to the 3D movie and there's like a branch in the way. It's like, oh, it's 3D. Holland looked great, but Buckley looked like so much fun. And I don't know what the future is for him, but boy, he could be a great action fighter. Those hands are just insane. So anyone who saw him in LFA, saw some of his knockouts, and saw tonight, like Holland was on point to avoid those shots because he was slipping those shots beautifully. But Buckley was fun. That was a really, really fun.
Was there a flying hammer fist in that fight?
Probably. There was a lot of
I think at the end of the round, like it was like he did this look like a flying knee, but he came down with a hammer fist. I was like, I like this gentleman.
Well, shout out to them.
It was like a double axe handle.
Yeah.
Fun it's
like
card.
A flying double axe handle. It Fun was a card. Wild fight. Holland's starting to become one of those like breakout guys in 2020 so far. I'm excited to see what's next for him. I think honestly, what the UFC should probably take a look at, you have Kevin Holland who wants to come right back. You have Darren Stewart who wants to come right back. There you go. Match those two guys up. Or if you want to make some headlines and see some really good trash talk in the build up to a fight, give Kevin Holland a bump, him versus Marvin Vettori. Make that fight happen.
Oh yeah,
because they don't like each other.
He does not like him.
They've been throwing verbal greasiness at each other ever since they were both in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
and it continues.
Makes sense.
Kevin Holland, what the heck? F Marvin Vettori, F Derek Brunson, and I'll poop on Mike Perry.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what stuck out from that conversation. So we started with poop and we ended with poop on the post fight show. So I think we're all done. Wrap it up. So thank you all for tuning in. You guys are warriors or savages, but UFC 252
is coming up
in a week. I cannot wait for Stipe versus DC3. I'm very excited for this. The return of the Sugar Show versus Marlon Chito Vera. Very good main card. I'm very excited for this main card. Of course, capped off by DC's final fight. We are out of here. For Jose, Alex, E. Casey Lydon, I am Mike Heck. We'll see ya. Have a good night, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.